This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Joy's international news and current affairs show, Worldwide Wave, especially for the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Big thank you to JJ there for the ripping hits. A full house here tonight. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Alex is here.
Hello, hello.
Ian's back.
Hi there.
And my name is Matt. It's fair to say that trans people are often burdened in their daily lives with more challenges than the average person. Sometimes transphobia, sometimes exclusion, or even violence.
How are trans men and trans women treated differently in the military?
After finally overturning the ban on trans service people under President Obama, what was the reaction to President Trump's plan to ban trans people again?
What are the risks of being openly trans in the US military?
Bringing real life stories of trans people from pre-Trump to current day America, tonight we're joined by Gabriel Silverman and Fiona Dawson, directors of the documentary Trans Military. And it's another of the excellent films which you may have seen or just missed at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
Dzień dobry. I am Kylie from Poland. It's great to have a place like Joy 94.9, where we can talk about trans issues from across the globe on a worldwide wave.
Show me your scars, I'll show you mine. My heart's a mess that you unwind.
Take my hand.
And that was Conchita Wurst coming up for air.
Haven't heard Conchita for a while.
Well, I've tried to lay off playing her too often.
We'll have a Eurovision song show coming up sometime
soon. Yeah. Now, the songs are all sort of military-themed in that that one was for the Navy. The first song you heard was Samantha Jade, and that was Soldier. That was for the Army.
It's a bit ironic, Conchita Wurst doing a naval song, considering she's from Austria.
Well, the Sound of Music, they had a captain.
True.
Of course, we are talking trans people in the military tonight. Messages on email this time, onair@joy.org.au. Thanks, Mel. She says, hello, team. There's lots of O's. Speaking of trans issues, tonight's is a it's fantastic that Georgie Stone is going to appear on Neighbours. I did not know this.
No.
Sadly, do millennials actually watch the show at all? That's a really good question. Is it too little too late for Australian television? I hope not. Neighbours was also the one that, didn't they just recently have a same-sex marriage
yes,
on there?
Yes, and same-sex marriage, yes.
They're finally sort of was that Home and Away? Showing the
no,
true colour.
It was, no, you're right, it was Neighbours, yes, correct.
Yeah, great.
They had back to doing the officiation.
Really?
Yes, yes, you're right. If you are one said millennial, reach for your phone. It's probably glued to your hand and tap, tap, tap. Send us a message. Are you into Neighbours? Did you see
the bigger question
Georgie
is,
Stone?
Are they listening to our program?
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
And we are talking trans people, particularly in the military of the United States. We've all heard the tweets and the news around the tweets from President Donald Trump. Where's it up to? Because I'm kind of a little bit confused. So currently, you can still be a trans person in the military. The changes have not yet gone through, but there's been a bit of a battle. So in January, the US Supreme Court, in a 5-4 ruling with all the five conservative judges agreeing with President Trump, said that it's okay, the trans people can be banned.
Well, it's not okay.
Well, the judges thought so. So some trans people who are currently serving went to Congress and became the first people to publicly testify in front of Congress and tell their story in February. In just a few weeks ago, the Deputy Secretary of Defence put out a memorandum-type directive. That's like the official type thing.
Yes, it actually explains what the ban actually means.
Yeah, it actually goes into the detail. So new service personnel cannot be trans. Existing personnel are less strictly governed, but there's still ifs and buts around. So this is still a moving feast. There is still another number of court cases being used to challenge this.
And I've got a story here that there was a judge from March 20, this is, that Judge Colleen Collar-Cottley has actually said that, claimed that he cannot actually go through with instituting this ban after all, so despite what you said earlier. So, yeah, it's all very...
Yeah, I think that's because the case that that's involved with is still... hasn't been set down by the appeals court.
Right. Okay.
So that one's still active.
Okay, so this is in relation
it's
to a particular case.
A veritable minefield.
It is.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427 JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
So trans people in the United States military, they've had a bit of a roller coaster ride over the last 2 years as the White House changed policies in their existence in the military. Now, Gabrielle Silverman and Fiona Dawson said about chronicling the journey of a number of trans people serving in different capacities, including on the front line in the United States military. We started by asking Fiona where the idea came for the film and how she linked with Gabrielle to make it happen.
So, Matt, as an advocate for LGBT rights in America, I had been doing lots of speaking engagements and advocacy around the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And it wasn't until after that repeal that I came to realise that transgender people were still banned from serving in the US military, that DADT allowed lesbian, gay and bi people to serve, but trans people were still banned. So in around 2012, I started developing the friendships I already had made with several transgender people and veterans and service members, and started documenting their stories. So that happened for a couple of years, and then in early 2015, somebody that we knew at the New York Times was aware of the project Trans Military, and they wanted to commission a short film, an art doc. And so they teamed me up with Gabe and Jamie, and the three of us together made our short film, Transgender at War and in Love, that came out in June of 2015. And we realised then that the film and the story had the capacity to have a powerful impact, potentially in helping address the issue with lifting the ban, but also with the important storytelling of what it's like to be trans and serving in the military. And of course, the ban was still in place at that time, and the story was evolving. And so the wonderful people that we were working with and filming and sharing their stories, they allowed us to continue filming them as they went inside the Pentagon to meet with top brass officials, to help share their stories, to help and change the policy, and of course their personal lives. So you see our characters during the holidays and at weddings and saying goodbye to their families as they go on deployment. And then, of course, the ban ends in 2016, and we think that we have a nice little story wrapped up with a happy ending. And then President Trump decides to tweet in 2017. So, Gabe.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say that, you know, for Fiona coming from the world of advocacy, Jamie and I came from the world of journalism. We kind of came to it with, like, we'd come to any story with an open mind, but, you know, a journalistic sense of skepticism. And the more we learned about this topic, the more we learned about the characters, you just see that objectively there is a right side of history and a wrong side of history here. And so we wanted to help tell that story. And so when history was corrected on June 30th, 2016, when the ban was lifted, we thought, oh, man, perfect ending. We had actually had a whole cut already made, and there was going to be, you know, end with the beautiful wedding scene, and everything was uplifting. And no one could have predicted that, A, Trump would have gotten elected, and then, two, that he would blindside not only trans service members, but the DOD and the Pentagon by tweeting personnel policy on July 26, 2017. And of course, from our side, we had to go immediately back into production to capture the reaction to this and what this actually means for the characters, because the happy ending is no longer the reality on the ground.
So tell us about that reaction. As you said, the policy came out via tweet, incredibly, I would say, disrespectfully. But it also then would have thrown these people's lives into immediate uncertainty. Tell us how they reacted.
Well, I would say that, you know, what's interesting about doing a documentary and getting away from the world of breaking news is that, you know, we spent years with these four people and their families, you know. You learn about the importance, the stability needed of a paycheck, the stability, what they contribute to our country, everything that makes someone nuanced and complex. And to think that you've done something right and the country's lifted this ban, and then all of a sudden, in a, you know, what amounts to 140 characters, you get blindsided by your commander in chief, it's deflating. Because what he reduces this issue down to, what he reduces people down to, is just a bigoted soundbite for his political base. Because frankly, to this day, this is a bipartisan issue. There are Republicans, there is a majority of Americans support transgender service. Republicans support transgender service. Democrats support transgender service. But it is a minority that he is playing to that wants to just hear political soundbites. And so you take these relationships that we've been building for years and you compare that, and these, like, magnificent people, to compare that to how the president has characterized them, it is deflating and amoral.
That's Gabriel Silverman, the co-director of the documentary Trans Military from this year's Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Coming up, Fiona and Gabe give us an insight into who helps who and who hinders trans service people in the military. This is World Wide Wave.
Hi, my name is Hope Matumbo from the Multicultural Health and Support Service, and you're listening to the World Wide Wave. That's how people do it.
Worldwide Wave. Tonight we're talking all things trans in the US military and getting a few comments through about that Brunei story we were mentioning before. On Facebook, Joe says, I can't believe we're still protesting this shit. Mm-hmm. We agree with you, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, and we shouldn't stop either, because it will have actions. Now, after President Trump's infamous tweet, more about that a bit later, planning to ban trans people from any military service, the U.S. military bureaucracy made statements that seemed to indicate they didn't necessarily support the president's ban. We asked Fiona Dawson, director of the documentary Trans Military, if they were surprised by that response.
Yes and no. We have to remember that a tweet is a tweet. So, you know, the tweet itself wasn't formal policy. You know, it was the president's opinion. And therefore, that tweet did not automatically change any policy or automatically put a ban in. And so what I've come to learn about the military is that it's very, very bureaucratic. And it's like you go by what is written in the book, in the policy. And so at that time, these leaders came out in support saying, you know, no policies have changed. You know, we stand by our pledge to, you know, treat all service members as equals. What's interesting is you'll see at the end of the film, General Milley is actually one of the top brass officials, the Army Chief of Staff, who our service members met with in the film. And General Milley had been rather skeptical and unsure and uneducated about the issue in the beginning. And our service members met with him, and it really significantly helped to change, shift his attitude. So while at the beginning, you know, we're unsure of how Milley feels, at the end of the film, after the tweets, he is actually one in the news media outwardly supporting trans service members.
Let's bring this back to the actual people now. Gabe, what is the experience of the people in your documentary of life in the military as a trans person?
Well, so I think that what's interesting about this experience of following them, the experience is that there's the political rhetoric and the day-to-day reality. At the end of the day, what the units are looking for people to do is to just do their job and do it well. And all four of our characters in the film had units that supported them, the people around them, their actual battle buddies, right? And to this day, I mean, Layla was eventually pushed out for various complicated reasons, but the three characters that stayed in, they were all promoted, and they're all accepted by their team members because they're exceptional at what they do. And this is ultimately what they're asking the military for, is to judge them not based off their gender identity, but on their job performance. And when that is done, you see that they can excel in their positions like anybody else. And that's ultimately what the units want. They want a meritocracy where the best and brightest rise to the top. And that's what trans service members want, too. I mean, it just comes down to not trying to put people in these boxes based off gender identity, but just seeing them as the complete people that they are.
Can the reverse be true, though, that if you don't have a commanding officer that is accepting, then life could be almost hell?
I mean, that's absolutely right. And that was the problem before, right? As you see in the film, like Logan was able to serve as a man in Afghanistan because his direct commander allowed it to happen. And what you end up seeing is that within the absence of good policy, there's a patchwork of how people are treated. And this is where it comes down to discrimination and bias. So, for example, Logan, a white male, is treated a lot different than, let's say, his wife, who is a woman of color. And that's why a consistent policy is required, so that there's equal treatment of people regardless of gender or race or any other factor, and really look at, can they do their job properly? So, yes, there are experiences every day of people who are being discriminated against because of their gender identity, not because necessarily for policy issues, but because the commander don't understand it and they have a lot of control. And so what ends up happening is when you look at, if you were to do like a Freedom of Information Act request and see how many people were kicked out of the military for being transgender explicitly, well, that number might not be that high, because what ends up happening is commanders who want to discriminate against certain troops will find every other reason to attack them. They will find every other reason to discriminate against them, to push them out so that, you know, they make their lives a living hell. So it is true, the reverse can be true, and that's why we need consistent policy.
Fiona, is the experience different for trans men and trans women? Are they treated differently? Is one more accepted than another?
It's a great question and one that we ponder upon a lot. I don't want to stereotype and generalize too much, but I will say that we do find that, you know, masculinity is really revered in the military. You know, you have to be the strongest fighting force. And so whether you're cisgender or transgender, masculinity is a valuable asset within the military. And so you do find that trans men typically seem to have an easier time than trans women when it comes to transitioning in that environment. Of course, you know, trans men, when they take testosterone, is much more of a powerful hormone than estrogen. And so your body changes, you know, much quicker and you can become stronger easier. And so, you know, we have found anecdotally that our trans guys are having an easier time than trans women. But then also I think that that's true for cis and trans women outside of the military as well. You know, we still see a lot of gender bias and differences in how men and women are treated differently in society per se, which is one of the important reasons from an advocacy perspective why I wanted to tell this story, because I think when you look at how trans people can thrive and excel in their careers in the military, which is one of the most gender segregated workplaces you'll find, that there's no reason why we should be treating people differently in society as well.
What's the risk of trans people in being open about who they are? I mean, appearing in this documentary is putting them out there. Everybody knows the truth about them and who they are. What's the risk for them?
Yeah, so when we first did Transgender at War and in Love in 2015, that story focuses on Logan and Layla. And at the time, Layla was having a very difficult time within her command and was really close at risk of being discharged and being pushed out because of the discrimination she was facing. And what we found when that film came out, all of a sudden her story was out in the media and everybody knew about it. And it ironically protected her for a short period of time because the leadership didn't want to draw attention to this person whose story was being so well received in the military to then suddenly being discharged, and they, you know, didn't want to like face an extra outcry from that. So the service members that we've seen in our film, because they excel in their careers, they have been for the most part supported by their leadership, that they have actually, I think they've garnered respect for having the courage to step out and share their story. But I will say that, you know, our service members in the film are part of a group called SPARTA that has now close to 800 active duty transgender service members. And by no means does that mean that all 800 of those people protected and secure in their jobs in the same way. But, you know, they still find amongst their ranks that, as Gabe said earlier, you know, if you have a leader that doesn't understand what it means to be trans, that has their own personal bias, and now, of course, you've got the commander-in-chief endorsing discrimination and the discharge of trans service members, and that empowers leaders culturally to treat those troops less than. Why would they want to invest in their careers? Like, why would they want to promote them? Why would they want them to get further education if at the end of the day the commander-in-chief just wants to get rid of them as well?
Now, that was Fiona Dawson with fellow director Gabe Silverman from the documentary Trans Military.
I really found it interesting, and you can see this in your head, but where there's policy, where it's written down, that's the rules, that's what happens. So when under Obama they did change the policy, the machine that is the military then went about, right, we've got a new rule, we've got a process, at da, 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 da. What seems to be really screwing things up is this uncertainty of, well, we've got the policy, but then we know this is coming, and then there's this change, and then that's stopping and starting. The military doesn't like that variation. Doesn't like that uncertainty.
They like order. They like to know where they're going and who they're going to fight, basically.
But equally, on the ground, so they're saying there, and I had the pleasure of seeing this film as well in MQFF, on the ground where there is a supportive leader, a human leader, they will make sure, I won't say they protect, but they make sure that discrimination doesn't happen. And then the reverse. So actually they mentioned there, so Logan, who's a trans man, had a really supportive commander, had a great experience, well-respected part of his team in Afghanistan. Layla, his partner, a trans woman, didn't have a good commanding officer, had lots of problems and ended up leaving the military.
Mm.
It's, yeah, really, really difficult. And I think the other thing that I really feel for these members of the military is the roller coaster ride they've been going on. Like, they, when the change was made to remove the ban, there was this enormous, you know, relief and excitement that they were being accepted by. They are absolutely passionate about their jobs, and they were, you know, they were feeling this acceptance, and then that was all smashed away.
But they make the point in the interview that they just want to be accepted for who they are, not what they are.
Yep.
So if they're good at their job, they should be allowed to stay and do their job. Doesn't matter what gender the person is.
Absolutely. And then if you, you know, if they wanted to, if a commanding officer wanted to kick somebody out because they had a problem with them being trans, they'd find another way of doing it. They wouldn't overtly do it. So it doesn't come up on some stat sheet to say X number of trans people have been kicked out of the military. It's done quite subversively.
Because they want to get someone out of the military, they just decide that you're not doing a good enough job, and they...
Yeah, or ride them hard until they make a mistake, right, and then say, well, you're gone. The other thing that did surprise me a little bit was this... Not surprise me, but that trans men were more accepted than trans women. So it's still... It's sexism layered on top of gender identity, and that just an added challenge. If you're a trans woman, you've got an even harder time as well.
Probably shouldn't surprise us.
It shouldn't, but it also shouldn't happen.
Mm,
we're probably preaching to the converted here. We are talking all things trans in the US military. You're on Worldwide Wave.
Dear Ditch, hello, this is Rosie Fagan, speaking to you all the way from Belfast in Northern Ireland on Worldwide Wave.
Love is the only thing I
That was Dami Eamon. She was fighting for love.
Which we like on this show. We like people who fight for love, especially LGBT love. News. Spotify. If Spotify is your favourite streaming platform for all things music and podcasts.
Don't tell me we're on there.
We are there.
Oh, my God.
In our latest quest to take over the audio world, World Wide Wave is now on Spotify.
How millennial.
So all you do is go on and search World Wide Wave, and we come up, and you'll find our back catalogue of not quite the full lot, but a couple of hundred shows, I think.
Yeah, that is one of the popular ones, isn't it? Aren't we meant to say there are other platforms there out there for your favourite podcasting?
Your favourite streaming or podcasting platform. We're everywhere. We're just taking over.
But I have seen Spotify, and I think it's very good.
So I think I might have to go and download the app and see how it works.
Download the app and subscribe. You follow us, just click the follow button, and we will send you each and every show.
Coming back to the interview, so the documentary Transmilitary charts the highs and lows of trans people in the US military. But film director Gabriel Silverman wants to ensure that people understand the wider issues for trans people outside the military.
I would say that it is important, though, although we are talking about the military, that we should talk about the consequences of being trans in America, because, you know, I think it's 30 states in America, you can still be fired at your job simply for being transgender. Legally, you can be fired for being transgender, right? There's no protections for gender identity. In addition to that, when you look at the violence that's been perpetrated against transgender people, it's astronomical. I mean, one of the most underreported stories in America is the murder rate for trans women of color. So we hope that while we are saying this documentary inside the military, it makes us think harder about how we treat transgender people as a whole for our country.
You mentioned that when one of the military leaders was able to hear the stories, it changed their view. What do you hope that the film, given the context that we're in now of having the commander-in-chief saying negative things, trying to ban trans people, what do you hope that the film achieves? What do you hope audiences walk away with?
I think it's a simple recognition of yourself and the other. That's it. I mean, at the end of the day, there's a lot of false rhetoric being thrown around in the political sphere about deployability, about healthcare costs, about ability to do your job. And our film addresses all of these and dispels the myths that are being perpetrated now by the commander-in-chief. So I really hope that people can finally step away from the political rhetoric and just see a human story and see the truth behind this topic that's becoming increasingly polarized for no other reason than the president tweeting about it.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with Gabe, but I would also say that I really hope that this film might somehow influence and prevent another ban from going into place. Because we are shockingly close to seeing that happen in a way that I never would have predicted. So we are working very, very hard to ensure as many lawmakers on the Hill and the Supreme Court even gets a chance to see this film and actually really come to know trans service members. We've been really proud to see several of the characters in the film, plus other friends that we know, testify at the House Armed Services Committee. And so we're just really trying to use it to educate people that can actually make a decision outside of the military, and then also within the military as well, to help people understand that a new ban should not happen.
It is a very timely film indeed. The documentary is Transmilitary, showing at this year's Melbourne Queer Film Festival. The directors, Gabriel Silverman and Fiona Dawson, thank you very much for joining us on World Wide Wave.
Thanks so much, Matt, for having us, Matt.
It does emphasise that old thing of stories can change minds. So in the documentary, this group of trans people who were intent on making change just kept on meeting with the people inside the military, progressively going up and up the ranks and getting a meeting with somebody else and going in and telling their story and then going to the next one. And they were actually quite shocked when they got a call to go in and meet the second highest person in the military. And they really weren't quite sure. It was all good news at that stage. But the power of the story to take, and I guess this is where President Trump comes in, that he takes the humanity out of it, spits out a tweet. There's nothing you can't touch. There's no emotion to the tweet in itself. But when you hear these stories and the things that the trans members of the military have gone through, then it sort of makes you go, hang on, that's not right.
It's so much more powerful, but from a different perspective. I think back in July 2017, I was reading the news in the early mornings on Joy, and I came in and I was putting the news together and I saw that tweet from Donald Trump, and I included it in the news bulletin. And I just appreciate now, and I think we all do, just how distracted we've become, how much dog whistling and how much he's able to take us off in a different direction when we actually had a good narrative before. And just with those tweets, you know, I don't think they're worth repeating, but with those tweets, he can take us in a completely different direction of distraction. But that's his
exactly.
game. That's what he does.
Well, it's exactly the same way he did that with the transgender toilet issue, you know, in schools and universities, which was just, you know, just ridiculous.
Full credit to the directors here, because they'd actually finished shooting. They were finalising their film, and they were going to end the film with the happy wedding of two of their characters. And the military ban was gone, it all changed and they went, quick, we've got to go out and turn this into an education tool. We've got to get people talking and use this as a tool. So it is, if you missed it at MQFF, there are places that you can see it, and we'll give you those in just a few moments. Tonight, we've been talking the USA on Worldwide Wave.
Hello, Australia. This is Noam, Apple and Top. From Apple Models in Thailand, the world first transgender model division on Joy 94.9.
A huge thank you to our guests tonight from the USA, Gabriel Silverman and Fiona Dawson, the directors of the documentary titled Transmilitary. You can have a look more about their work at transmilitary.org, and you can also stream it on iTunes and your favourite streaming platform.
Thank you to all our contributors tonight in the form of messages, SMSs, emails on Facebook, Leslie, Nicole, Matt, Roy, Nora and a heap more. Have joined us to interact on Facebook this past week. That's www.joy on Facebook. SMSs and emails.
Our big thanks behind the scenes to those important people, our podcaster Alex and our social media master Dean.
Coming up, we've got a special encore of Urban Dreaming, who we've missed having as buddies. And then stick with us all night. Triple Bypass at 9, Local Roots at 10, and Been There, Done That to take you off to Betty Byers.
Got some more music to take us out.
Some military-themed music?
Well, you know, we've had the Navy, we've had the Army. So
we haven't had In the Navy by the Village People.
I was about to say.
I'm disappointed.
You're not going to guess it.
I understand.
Yes. This program has tastes. but we haven't touched on the Air Force, so we're going to go out with Wings by Delta Goodrum.
And we'll catch you next week on Worldwide Wave.
organization that could take a stand. Everybody's looking for a second chance. What if I lose?
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.